Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Stephen McDonald.
Well, happy Valentine's Day weekend. Happy Family Day weekend. Happy Daytona 500 weekend. Happy Jelly Bean weekend. I don't know what else you want to add in there. Some weekend for everybody. Today is episode 3 of our new Blueprint Relationship Series. You know, any structure that is going to stand the test of time must begin with a good set of blueprints. And our relationships are no different. God has given us the plans to try to figure this thing out. And it is a challenge because every one of our relationships are different and unique. And they all require the wisdom of God to navigate. And so if you're here today as our guest for the first time, we welcome you. We're so glad that you're here. We hope you feel at home. We hope that you feel that you're among friends today. And we're people just like you, with relationships just like you, all trying to figure out what the next steps are, how to move forward, how to get things to work properly. Last week, Pastor Brad did a stellar job laying down the crucial building block of love. You know, God's love is that great connector, that great universal connector to make all of the building blocks in our lives work together. He did a great job, and without love, without God's love, we're lost. We're sunk before we even set sail. And so today, in episode 3, we're going to look at the truth about trust. That's going to be our focus, because every healthy relationship must be built on the foundation of trust. Stephen Covey, in his book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, once said that trust is the glue of life. I love that picture. It's the most essential ingredient in effective communication. It's the foundational principle that holds all relationships. Very well spoken. Proverbs 20, verse 6 says, many proclaim themselves as loyal, many do. But the Bible says, who can find one worthy of trust? I want you to think about that for a minute. I want you to think in your mind right now of someone in your life that you trust, someone worthy of your trust. Picture their face. Now ask yourself the question, why do you trust that person or those people that you see? Well, I think the simple, common answer is because those people that come to mind very quickly have proven themselves time and time again in our lives as trustworthy. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, usually people that we trust have earned our trust over a certain period of time. Their actions have been consistent and proven. Now, many of you may not know this, but the world's tallest man-made structure is the Burj Khalifa in Dubai. This building is spectacular. It looks like the city of the future, like the Jetsons or something. It's amazing. From a distance, you see this sheer structure of glass and steel reaching almost 2,800 feet in the sky, and it's unbelievable. But most people, when they see it, even though they're in awe of this architectural wonder, they don't always think of how it came together. They're not always thinking about, well, I wonder what the blueprints look like. I wonder what the schematics and the equations that cause the wind shear to be what it should be when a building goes that high in the air. It's unbelievable. And man seems to have this unquenchable thirst to keep building something taller and taller. And even though this one stands as the record holder right now, I hear that there are already two other buildings that are in motion and being built that will supersede it. One called the Jeddah building in Saudi Arabia, which I think will go to 3,000 feet. But most people, when they see this building and get a chance to visit it, the first thing that they want to do is buy a ticket, get on that elevator, and head right to the top. They want to see the view, right? They want to stand on the glass floor. Most of these buildings that you go to, CN Tower, Taipei 101, all these incredible structures seem to have a glass floor where you have to step out and see if you can trust your weight as you look down below. But again, I think sometimes we look at trust the same way. We have this overall picture of what trust looks like in our lives, but sometimes we don't recognize that that trust has been built over time, bit by bit, action by action, layer by layer. And it's during that time that someone's character is proven, that trust is established. And it's from this that the building blocks of trust are developed over time and locked into place, creating this relational foundation that can literally transform our lives. The scripture I want to look at this morning and focus on and pull some truth from is the third chapter of Proverbs. And I'd like to read you just a couple of verses to get started. Verses 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not on your own understanding." That's a hard one for us because we default to that posture. "In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight." So we don't want to walk in confusion. We don't want to walk all over the place. We want to walk straight. And it's only our trust in the Lord that I think gives us the ability to trust the people around us, to trust them again, even after our trust in that person has been broken. Now, over the years, I've been in situations, and some of you can identify with this, where someone that was supposed to be a close friend has broken your trust, has bruised that trust. Someone that has said, "Oh, come on, you can tell me, trust me, me. It's those words, right? "You can trust me. Your secret is safe with me." And then within hours, it seems like you hear a version of what you've just said parroted back to you from someone you didn't talk to, that you never intended them to know. And that hurts. That cuts quick. Many of us are quick to give our trust only to realize that it's been misplaced, causing us to become, the next time around, closed off, seared over a little bit, unwilling to give our trust the next time it's called upon. You see, the time-consuming process of giving trust and sometimes having it bruised or broken can create this barrier in our lives that prevents us from trusting God, that prevents us from stepping into his purpose for our lives. And it also prevents us sometimes from trusting the people he's put in our lives to help move our purpose along. Trusting someone is easier than trusting someone again. Did you hear what I said? It's much easier to trust somebody for the first time. It's very, very difficult when you've done that and it's been broken. That moment of hey, will you forgive me? Yes, I will forgive you. It's a little bit more difficult to forget the hurt, right? We're quick to forgive because we know that the Lord has called us to do it, but it's difficult to let those things go. But imagine life without trust. Imagine how your relationships would go. Your spouse goes off to work, or they get on a business trip and they go away for a few days, and you lack that peace that you should have. You don't know what they're going to do or who they're going to be with when you're not around. Or your girlfriend is always checking her messages and she says it's her girlfriend from school, but there's something within you that just doesn't buy it. Somebody else is trying to get to her. I don't trust her. What about the new friend that you meet and you have something deep and personal and intimate that you want to share? Because you've got to talk to somebody. But there's this feeling inside that I've been burnt before. I don't know if I want to share it with this person because I don't know if they'll keep their mouth shut. Because time and time again, we've seen people that have breached that confidence. And so without trust, every moment in our lives can become a nightmare. It's a very difficult environment for relationships to thrive. In fact, a relationship without trust is dysfunctional from the get-go, and it begins to devolve into chaos. Trust is this super important part of a healthy relationship, but it's also something that, if we were to be real honest, is something that so many of us struggle with, and for plenty of good reasons, based on experience. It's something that when two people in a relationship come together, and I'm not just talking about romantically or within the context of marriage, I'm talking about friends, talking about your neighbor, talking about your coworker. These are the dynamics that go into place when people decide they're going to trust one another, and it is a decision that you have to make. It's not something that you can demand from somebody or prove to someone. Trusting someone is a choice. It's a choice you make pretty much every day. Trust is that foundational element for any successful relationship, whether it's with the people that you live life with or whether it's your relationship with God Himself. And if you have it, if you have that trust, it's one of the most important ingredients to living your life to its fullest potential. Real trust, I mean true trust, is built slowly over time. But the incredible thing is it can be lost in a moment. Isn't that something? Seems to take forever to establish, but bang, in 1 second, you can see it fleet and go and disappear before you like a mirage. And so God has created us for relationships, and He's created us to trust. Back in the book of Genesis, we see the first characters that the Bible introduces in Adam and Eve. And these are two people that violated God's trust, the trust that He had placed in them. And they didn't do what they were asked to do, even though they had everything that they would ever need. You see, part of why people have trouble trusting God, I believe, today, is that key people in our lives have not always been trustworthy. Somebody at one point or another hasn't kept their word. Somebody that made a commitment to us didn't honor that commitment. Or those people that we thought should have been reliable didn't prove themselves that way. And it hurts. It cuts deep. We are prone to that type of offense and hurt. So rebuilding trust takes time and patience and a whole lot of unconditional love. To get back to the place where we used to be is not an easy thing. And our human love and our ability is very limited. But it only is through God's power that we can have that unconditional love for someone and see them in another light, to give them a new chance, a new beginning, and to trust ourselves, to put ourselves out there again relationally. It's not an easy thing. And the truth is, we can't effectively develop long-term, healthy, trusting relationships with other people unless we start by trusting Him first. I think we're surrounded by a culture where the desires and rights of the individual are considered the greatest good, where I can have whatever I want or be whatever I want to be as long as it doesn't harm someone else or keep them from what they want to do with their life. And it's during these times that you and I, as Christ followers, are constantly reminded in scriptures like Proverbs chapter 3 of what it truly means to trust in the Lord God Almighty, what trust in Him looks like. Now, let me give you a few of those things that we can pull and take from Proverbs chapter 3. The first one is that to trust is to place your confidence only in Him, only in God. Remember what we said in Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. You see, to trust in the Lord means more than believing in who He is or believing in what He says. The word here in this context for trust also means to have confidence in. So having confidence in something means having an assurance that leads to a place of action. Trust in the Lord is the faith that lets us boldly serve, and this confidence should infuse everything about who we are. It should be a part of every part of our life. All of our knowledge, all of our wisdom, and our will should be saturated in this action-producing assurance of God. You see, when we lean on our own understanding, when we trust our own knowledge and discernment to support us, it reaches its place of limitation. But when we trust God, He gives us, through the Holy Spirit, a new heart, a new beginning. So we cultivate these God-trusting hearts through meditation on Scripture, through our time spent in prayer, and through our companionship and relationship with other believers within the body of Christ, within the church. And as these things tune our hearts to the Spirit that's living within us, we rely less on ourselves and more on Christ, serving Him in the good times and the bad, in sickness and in health, through the times that we battle with sin, and in the times where we have peace that's founded in His rest. Second thing that we see in Proverbs 3 is to trust is to acknowledge God in everything, everything. Proverbs 3, verse 6 says, "In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. You see, acknowledging God means knowing God wherever we are and whatever we're doing. This doesn't just mean intellectual assent where we say, yeah, I agree with that, but it's a daily awareness of his character and his will being seen in your life. So if we commit ourselves to trusting God in everything we do, does that mean that we're going to live this free and easy lifestyle where everything comes very easily? Of course not. We've all lived long enough to recognize that when trials come, we know that we can be shaken. But the promise of Scripture is that though you will be shaken, you will not be destroyed. And this journey that we're on of trust ultimately leads to him, to his blessing in our lives. Jeremiah 17:7 says, but blessed are those who what? Trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. So it's not that life no longer has difficulties, because we know that those challenges are very real, but that those difficulties are nothing to fear, and that we can remain confident in God, and that we can hold on to his trust even in the midst of those times. And as we trust more in Jesus and have confidence to act on his will, it also means recognizing and acknowledging God in other people, in the people that are around us. Now, that's easier with some people than others, right? Their disposition, their smile, their personality. You're like, oh, he's such a wonderful person. Or she's such a lovely woman of God. Other people, you got to squint like you're looking at a Christmas tree, right? Oh, isn't it beautiful? Sometimes you have to see the beauty in others and see with the eyes of God. Because the lens that we have is sometimes influenced by a lot of different factors. Sometimes the things that frustrate us in other people are the same things that frustrate us about ourselves. It's just the truth. But taking new relational risks in a community like ours requires trust, especially when we've been beat up in the past, especially when we've been through some things. And the more we trust in Christ, the more confidence we can act on his will, the more we can see the strength that there is in other people. God has put people in your life to actually help you accomplish his purpose within you. And it means that through the power of his Holy Spirit at work within our lives, we can trust again. Those are two hard words, trusting again. Trusting the first time, much easier. Trusting again, much more difficult. But the promise is that we can heal, that we can continue to grow, which leads perfectly to the next truth that we see in Proverbs 3, which is to trust is to receive God's life through Christ. You see, trust in and a fearful awe of the Lord actually revives us. It stirs us up. Proverbs 3, verse 8 says, it will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Now, interestingly enough, the word for flesh here is only used in two other verses in Scripture. In one, it means umbilical cord. In the other, it means navel. So it's the healing that's spoke of here actually has this connotation of birth. And if I trust in the Lord, it's kind of the equivalent of a rebirth or being born again, new life, very powerful. And so regardless of the relational pain that you and I may have experienced in our lives because of broken trust, he can provide healing in unexpected ways, even when hope seems lost, because our hope is in him. Our hope is not in our circumstances. It's not when everything is going our way or when our bank account reaches a certain level. That's not where hope is. Hope is found in hope. He is hope, and we find it in him. And so in a culture of misplaced trust, of broken relationships and damaged relationships, only Jesus is unshakable, unchangeable, unbreakable, and worthy of our trust. All right, I want to close with kind of a trust reversal idea for you to consider. Because I think we need to ask ourselves, as we look around the room, as we look in our lives, not is that person trustworthy or can I trust them? Because that's sometimes the posture that we take right away. But I think we need to reverse it and ask ourselves, are we worthy of someone else's trust? Have we earned that? Even if we've made mistakes, because none of us are perfect, are we willing to step out again and be the kind of person that someone is looking for to count on? The people that I have great regard for in my life, that I trust, are people that are not perfect. They're actually people that have made mistakes. Some of them have hurt me over time. But I still respect them. I still trust them. Why? Because they're people that have said to me, you know what? I'm sorry. Sorry for what I said. I'm sorry for how I dealt with that situation. See, I have a great respect for people that are willing to admit that truth. I learned that a long time ago as I watched my parents grow in their own marriage relationship, which was not perfect. But they got to a place in God where they realized that it was only God's power working through them that would improve the relational dynamic. And so I heard those words. They were modeled for me. I'm sorry. I've had lots of practice since then to do that in my own marriage, my own relationship. And so people sometimes are examining, and why can't I find a trustworthy person? Well, are you? Because it starts with you. Numbers 12, verse 7 says, but not with my servant Moses. Of all my house, he is the one that I trust. That's God speaking right there. That's God saying that he has found someone he can trust in Moses. You see, most of us spend a lot of time trying to figure out whether we think God is trustworthy, whether he has earned that right within our lives. But this verse changes the perspective significantly. Maybe the only question isn't whether we can trust God. Maybe the question for those who want to live a life that's alive in God is, can God trust you? Are you a trustworthy person? Trust is dependability, right? It's that deep confidence in someone. And we tend to trust people that are reliable, who are consistent and don't change with the seasons or the wind when it blows in a different direction. Have you ever thought that maybe God is looking for people that he can trust? All of us have had days where we struggle and lose the feels of faith, right? You don't always feel saved. You don't always feel like a new person. But we know that we know that we know that he's done something within us. But what if our faith could become strong enough and solid enough that God felt when he looked down, I can trust her. I can trust him. That's who I'm looking for. Now, real quick, let me give you a few trust killers. First trust killer is losing faith in God the minute circumstances don't go our way. That's human nature. That's kind of an ouch topic right there because it hits home for a lot of us. I talked to somebody the other day and they were talking about giving and asked me about tithing in my own life and how I said that ever since I came to the knowledge of who Christ was, I learned that principle of generosity and I wanted to honor God with the very best that I had. He says, yeah, I tried that. I said, oh, you did? Yeah, yeah. I gave that about 2 or 3 weeks. Tithe, nothing happened. Still in debt. Still owe all the money that I owed before. Nothing happened. I didn't get God's blessing in my life. Or, yeah, I tried serving the Lord. I gave him a whole year, and he didn't come through for me. You see, the last thing that we can do is when we hit a wall or hit a bump on the road to say, nah, forget it, I tried that. It requires much more consistency, a much longer period of time to be in a place where you can develop that type of trust with God. It doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen that way in a marriage or a friendship. It takes work. It takes time. Second trust killer is putting ourselves at the center of our relationship with God rather than God at the center of that relationship. In other words, what can I do for God rather than what can he do for me? Now, the trust killer, keeping God on the fringe of our lives instead of at the center. May God help us all to make sure that everything that orbits our lives, that God isn't one of them. We need to find ourselves orbiting him. He needs to be at the center of all that we're called to do. You know what I love about Moses, especially in the context of God's trust that he had in him, is that Moses was gut-level honest with God all the time. He was the kind of a guy who got upset and voiced it, but God always heard about it first. He always went to God and said, well, I'm so frustrated. I can't do this. You see, we need to be quick to go to him even when we're facing incredible odds. Because no matter how upset Moses became, at the end of the day, he trusted him. He trusted him to the point where it was like, I don't know how we're going to cross this body of water, but I trust you. There's nothing that I've ever read or heard about, no story that I could turn to say what I should do in this situation. And yet God, through his miracle power, and because of Moses' trust in him and God's trust in Moses, made a way. He made a way where there wasn't one. Some of you are looking at a situation, and it may as well be the Pacific, because it looks like the distance that you have to travel between here and there is impossible to cross. And yet God says, I will make a way where there is no way. So if there is not a way in your marriage, in your family, with your children, with your finances, God Almighty can make a way. He can peel back the circumstances and make you a road right down the middle of it. If we trust him, like Moses did. Have you ever thought that God might be looking to trust you? And if you realize that, how differently will you live your life when you recognize that God is looking for someone that he can trust? How will you wake up tomorrow? Will you choose your words more carefully? Will you focus on the things that revive you and build you with life instead of pull you down or pull you away from his purpose? May God help each and every one of us to be that individual that God can trust, to be that individual that other people can trust. Not are they trustworthy enough, are they worthy of my trust, but am I worthy of theirs? Stop pointing your finger at your spouse and say, you know, I don't know if they're worthy of my trust. Well, what about you? Are you worthy of theirs? And I find that when we turn the focus on ourselves and begin to develop what Christ wants to do within us, that as we become more of a trustworthy person, we are more prone to step out and trust others, even when we've been burnt before. That we can trust again, that we can love again. And I'm not denying the reality of the hurt that is caused through some of those situations, and I'm not even promising that the road back is going to be an easy one. But there is a road. There is a way. And if God makes the way, surely he will see you through it to the other side of the things that look like you can't overcome. Because the truth is you can't with your own strength. But the greater one that abides within you can. And that's where we need to focus and fix our trust. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for trust. We thank you today that in our lives, there have been times when that trust has been bruised and broken. It's been derailed. I pray that you'd forgive us for the times that we've added to that problem. Help us to not only look for those that are worthy of trust, but to be an individual who's worthy of trust. And God, I pray that when you search this earth, that you'll find in me a man you can trust. Not a perfect one, but someone that you can rely on, someone that you can have confidence in, that even in the thick of it, even in the most difficult and trying situations, that you can look down and say, I can count on her. I can count on him. And in Jesus' name, I pray that health today would be restored to brokenness, where there's been hurt, where there's been broken trust. God, I pray that you'd help people to find their way back, that you would give them that new life that we see, that new birth where we have another chance, and that God, through your strength, you will see us through to the health relationally that we're believing for, and that we will have a stronger relationship in our fear and awe of you, that we would honor you in everything that we do. We would acknowledge you in all that we put our hand to do and acknowledge you in the people that are all around us, and that we would walk in your will for our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.